Now that we have discussed the international human resource management basics, now let's move on to the next chapter, which is going to focus on the cross-cultural management. The key objectives of this particular chapter is going to focus on the concept like what is culture and what are the different concepts under the cultural iceberg. What is the impact of culture on any organization on many behaviors like culture in the organization and the level of motivation? The effect of culture and communication all across the organization? The impact of culture and conflict resolution? Impact of culture on dealing the organization from a change point of view? And definitely steps and the benefits of developing a culture and developing the cultural competency in the organization. Culture as a concept, definitely it sounds very simple, but at the end, your entire ecosystem is driven by culture as a concept. All your eating patterns, all your habits, all your behaviors are definitely highly influenced by culture of that particular state, that particular country, or that particular entire province which we are getting associated to. From an eating pattern, if I take an example of a traditional Hindu family culture, Indian family culture, people still prefer to eat using their hands. Whereas on the Western side, typically UK, US, all this international culture, people prefer to consume food using cutleries, using a fork and a spoon. This is where culturally we all come from different backgrounds. Hence, in this particular chapter, we are going to focus on the concept of culture and how an organization defines the culture, impacts the positives and the negatives as a part of our cultural subsystem, and definitely the concept of cultural iceberg. Let's understand this in a little deeper way. Few questions which we are going to focus on in this particular chapter is, what is culture? What is the impact of culture and on an organizational behavior? The impact of cultural development from a competency point of view, and definitely a quick summary of what we have discussed. That's what our key focus would be for the next few minutes. What is culture? Let's understand this in a little better way. If this is a symbol or a gesture which I am referring to, for example, I am somebody who's born and brought up in one particular country. If I am somebody who's from India, who's from Mumbai, I will say first class. When I say first class, what I'm referring to? Yes, excellent, beautiful, positive, first class. This is what I am trying to mention you something as a part of my expression from a gesture point of view. Similarly, the same gesture, the same body language, the same symbol can be represented into different ways by different countries and different places. For example, in UK and US, this is okay. In Russia, this would be referred as zero. In fact, I never thought this as zero. But yes, the moment I look at this gesture, this is also representing zero. In Japan, this is a representation of money. In Brazil, this could be a representation of insult, wherein they would not like this gesture and this is not one of the positive gestures. That's how every country, every province, every state has its own representation, and hence we say, believe it or not, the same gesture means different thing in different part all across the world. In fact, with larger geographical, you know, diameters of every country, particularly India has so many cities within the state, it really, really creates a huge confusion between two states within one country. And that's the reason every state, every country has its own way, has its own representation. And trust me, friends, while it may sound very simple, it is not this simple. It is very, very complicated because every region, every state, every province has its own representation of that particular gesture. That's the reason, you know, we have to focus on why there is a difference, where such differences are coming out by a simple gesture which may vary from person to person. The difference is, it is difference in the culture. Because, as I mentioned, few of them may take this gesture positively, few of them may not take this gesture positively. And the moment when there is something which is not considered to be a positive representation of a culture, of that particular symbol, it will not be accepted. Hence, culture is one of the important parameters which we as a student of international HRM need to focus upon. What is culture? The image which you see on the screen is a representation of different traditions. If you see, so many people are coming together, living together, and that's how highly we get influenced by each other's culture. Your eating patterns, your sleeping patterns, all your body languages, everything in which we day to day communicate with each other has a lot of influence on your culture. According to few definitions which were being discussed upon, these are few of the important ones wherein Taylor proposed that culture is one of the earliest definitions under which it is a complex whole which includes knowledge, belief, art, morals, law, custom, and all other capabilities and habits which is acquired by man, by a human as a whole society, as a member of this particular society. And this was mentioned by him in the year 1871. According to our another experts, it was conceived that culture in 1955 was conceived a little wider definition of culture, where the focus is for more than 4 decades ago, it was suggested that culture was a human-made part of the environment. But another expert in the year 1998, it is believed that culture can not be readily be expressed directly. It is, for example, a rule or a pattern on which a behavior, but indirectly or in function or any of the functionalities are beliefs and are and we ourselves as a part of our culture are being a part of this incomplete environment wherein we are the human beings and we have our nature. In 1985, it was defined as a series of important beliefs, values that are the characteristics of the members of one particular society and are relevant to their opinions, their views of the world as a whole, as to the individuals in their own ideas which are worth or to strive upon. According to one of the experts, 1997, culture is the software of the mind, similar to a computer program that controls the behavior. So friends, all these definitions which we are seeing on the screen, this is actually focusing a lot on our representation of behavior. Representation of human behavior is one of the key elements, and that's why culture plays a very important role, both positively and negatively, as a part of our human resource management structure. Therefore, culture is defined to be a learned pattern of behavior and beliefs, thought and the perceptions, emotion and communication are therefore, that are held in common amongst members of a group. The patterns at the same time are highly influenced on the interviewer and develop over time. And of course, as an organization, it defines the relationship of you and your workers and your people around you. And that's the reason the organizational relationship, the work, the creativity, and of course, a lot of consistent norms, behaviors is a part of any culture. Every geography is highly influenced by the culture in which they are developed, they are involved into. Many a times our simple behaviors are defined by the culture in which we have been brought up, in which we have learned these skill sets, in which we have been influenced by these patterns, by these different statistics by which we are influenced by the people around us. For example, once you start reading one particular language confidently and you try to understand this subject in a little more detailed pattern, it will help you to get the insight of that particular language. And then slowly and gradually, we start getting interest in that particular skill, that particular language. And once you start getting interest on those languages, it will help you to get influenced by the culture, learn from the culture, and at the same time, you will be able to learn more in depth about that particular pattern, which will help you to be a learned profession. And that's why culture plays a very important role from a consistently creative behavior. Let's understand the concept of an iceberg in a little better way. If you look at my screen, you can see there is an iceberg which is clearly visible on my screen. As a part of the iceberg, what you see, the top of the iceberg would be roughly 10 to 20% of what the ice is visible to all of us. If you go deep down, you will see 75 to 80, sometimes 85% of your iceberg is under the sea. And that's why what we see is just the tip of the iceberg, which is roughly 10 to 20% of the iceberg. Rest all are your patterns, your behaviors, your perceptions, your concepts which you have been, you know, bought upon somewhere, you have learned these things and you have highly got influenced by such behavior, your eye behavior, your body gesture, your social interface, the way you communicate, the way you talk, the way you eat, what you eat, how you eat, all these patterns are highly influenced as a part of our culture. But what is visible is just the tip of the iceberg. And that's why when we talk about such cultures, it talks a lot about your personal habits. For example, something which is clearly visible to everybody may be the pattern in which you drive, the pattern in which you have your personal aspirations. For example, your eating habits, your smoking habits, your drinking habits. All these things, the way we cook is highly influenced by the culture. And especially in a country like India, it's a hugely influenced culture because your eating patterns also defines a lot from your ecosystem. Like somebody who is on the extreme coastal side, if you see India on a global map, if you see the bottom of the India, which is typically the second half of the India, everywhere it's a coastal line. And hence, eating rice as a part of our culture is accepted. The moment you go on the north side, there many of the countries, many of the cities in India refers to consumption of wheat because that is highly accepted and this is a pattern in which they consume their food. That's how food as one of the element, your habits as one of the element, your drinking pattern, your eating pattern, your lifestyle, all this put together is highly influenced by the culture. If you see the image, You will see small fishes, large fishes, and sharks in that particular image. When I say shark, these are highly influenced personalities. These are highly influenced pattern which decides the positive or the negative of that particular part of the culture. And hence, the cultural iceberg, what we are referring to, is just the tip which is visible to you on the screen, which is the first half of your image. If you scroll down, definitely 75 to 80 to 90% of your culture is under the sea, which is highly influenced by each one of us based on your patterns. Now that we are focusing so much on bringing back to our woman workforce into the market, into the competition, let me also emphasize a lot of work is being done on a gender part. Today, every corporate, today everybody is trying their level best to have more and more gender participation into our cultural diverse workforce. Hence, it is very important to have all these genders, everybody as a part of our whole society. Hence, when I say shark, whale, all these are highly influential parameters of a culture. At the same time, small elements like your eating patterns or like your, you know, food consumption patterns or any of your spending patterns, this is how culture becomes one of the important elements of your cultural iceberg. Let's understand this in a little better way. Culture is rather an iceberg which you see, you can see it a little. But in the same way, you can see how we behave on the surface. But the biggest and the most important part of our discussion is our value system, our cultural values, which are hidden, which is typically not visible. It is just under the sea. Hence, this is a beautiful example that what we see is just the tip of the iceberg. But culture as a whole is something which is groundly rooted into our behaviors as a part of our patterns. And that's how what you see is just 15 to 20% of the iceberg, which is the tip of the iceberg. Rest, everything is under the sea, which is highly influenced by your culture. Now, let's move ahead and understand the cultural iceberg in a little better way. What is visible above the waterline are the different aspects of culture that are explicitly visible. They'll teach us many things as a part of our learning habits. For example, the way in which we have been influenced by the culture, it talks a lot about your assessment about yourself. How do you perceive yourself as a brand value in the market definitely talks a lot about you as a person who is somebody who is visible and who is a learned person. This includes written explanation as well as thousands of skills and the information which is conveyed through formal lessons such as manners or computing a long division or baking a bread. That's how these habits, these patterns which are exposed to each one of us as a part of our day-to-day activity really helps us to understand the culture as a concept. For example, the way we break our bread also talks a lot about we as individuals. Like the pattern in which people consume their food, the pattern in which their daily consumptions, it defines about the cultural aspirations of that particular place, that particular state. I gave you an example. All the coastal line, in particularly on the lower part, the second half, when I say second half, the lower part of India as a state, as a country, all the states which are there between the center to the extreme south are rice-eating population. If you go to the north, you will see most of them are wheat-eating population. Now, how do we geographically decide on what? It's purely based on the pattern, the culture in which we are consuming our food. And hence, Mostly, the southern part of India is rice-eating population, and the northern part of India typically is a wheat-eating population. But of course, because of culture, because of various exposure, when people travel all across the country, you get highly influenced by these cultures. And that's why your eating pattern is also one of the important parameters of your cultural iceberg. And especially somebody who's well-traveled in the entire globe definitely gets exposed to different style of eating, different styles from a cultural iceberg point of view. For example, I already told you eating with hands in India is acceptable from a normal Indian culture point of view. Whereas the moment you go on the western side, the more towards Europe and US, on these countries, the eating pattern, the way they consume, mostly they love to use cutlery. Whereas in India, they prefer using their own hand to consume foods. That's how. Nothing against anybody. Every country has its way of defining and getting influenced by culture. So please don't take me in wrong sense. Every country, every state has its own representation as a basis of your culture, values in which we have been bought, the way we have been taught. At the same time, the way we are doing our day-to-day activities is also an important element of your cultural iceberg. Above all, when you see the cultural iceberg, the top of that, above water level are the tangible aspects which are from the cultural remarks, typically, the cultural differentiations. For example, the tourist who are actually seeking something out of the entire discussion. At the same time, the way we dress talks a lot about you from a cultural point of view. For example, also above water, the tangible aspects which we derive from the cultural are the markers, typically the tourist who seeks out as a part of our French beard or any of these weaving patterns, any of these different aspects of your personalities, which actually are confirming about the behaviors, about the people dresses, the way they pronounce the letter R, is also how they have their reason in which they have been consuming their food, their eating patterns, and the way they have been respected as a part of our office, which is typically from a completely furnished information. So here, what we are trying to mention here is, basis on your culture, basis on the patterns on which the tourists are deriving in, it highly influences the overall culture in the part of our complete iceberg model. Now that we are discussing the cultural iceberg, what we referred to was above the iceberg, which is clearly visible to everybody. Now let's focus on the cultural iceberg, which typically is at the waterline. When I say at the waterline, what we are referring to is the transition zone in which the culturer observes is they have a lot of more alert into it. Now you see it is only you don't see it. That's the reason this particular area is, which is exclusively focusing on where the explicit understanding, which is something which is being talked about. Hence, how it has explained the mystical experiences or been codified into a creed, into a pattern, into a habit. And that's the reason this is the area where the official explanation and the teachings, all the teachings are becoming irrational, rational, contradictory, and many a time inaccessible from the where these ideologies are getting converted into faith. For example, beauty, inheritance, authoritative, child-rearing, these are few of the cultural elements which get highly influenced in the current scheme of things. The way I perceive a beauty from my lens may not be the same from the other lens. Hence, the cultural iceberg talks a lot about the way we interpret these elements, which could be a beauty for somebody, may not be a beauty for somebody else. When we talk about cultural iceberg, it also talks a lot about the inheritance which we get from our cultural patterns, from our cultural paradoxities in which we are getting into our day-to-day behaviors, which are getting influenced. And that's the reason how authoritative you are, your leadership capabilities, how effective you are from a leader, being a natural leader or to from being a natural leader to somebody who is not a naturally a leader, but has learned the leadership skills and then he or she has become a good leader. Hence, authority also plays one of the important role from a cultural iceberg point of view. The same from a cultural iceberg point of view, what you see on the left-hand side is your eating patterns, where typically a five-course meal starts from an appetizer, then comes your starter, then comes your salad, then comes your entire meal, and then at the end, it's complement with a dessert. Now, if you see, as a part of our cultural iceberg, we focus on all the elements of your eating pattern. At the same time, this pattern also defines your past. It also talks about what went to positive and negative on your past. Understanding that how are we behaving in the current scheme of things, hence we focus on now. And on the basis of your past and your present, which is now, how we are going to behave from a cultural iceberg point of view defines a lot from your future. And that's the reason we talk about justice, we talk about body language, we talk about a five-course meal, or we talk about how we behave as a part of our past, current, and our present. All these elements put together are one of the important elements of a cultural iceberg. That's the reason what this slide talks about is cultural iceberg. Below the water level is what we are focusing upon. Here, the hidden culture is the habits, assumptions, understanding, values, judgment that we know but do not carry or articulate from a long-term perspective. Typically, these are usually the aspects which are taught directly. For example, as a part of our discussion, when we talk about justice, if you are somebody who's culturally highly influenced and understands culture in a positive way, will definitely behave in such a way which is accepted from a jurisdictional point of view. As a part of justice, you will try to strike a balance between your positives and your negatives. You will definitely not like somebody which is injustice in your eye. If you think something which is not full of justice, definitely it's going to impact your iceberg and you will not like it in a positive way. Hence, all these patterns, all these behaviors which you see from an example of your meal, example of your past, present and future behavior, examples of your body language. For example, somebody who is very authoritative, he or she will have that authoritative body language as a part of their culture. And hence, cultural iceberg balances all these elements, natural and unnatural, as a part of your entire ecosystem. And that's the reason cultural iceberg is one of the important elements of your iceberg. Again, going back to our basics, where the visible part is roughly 10 to 20%, whereas 80 to 90% of that is under the sea, which is highly influenced by your culture. Let's think about this in a little better way. Think about the meanwhile, for example, and the order in which we order our food. Do you love to eat dessert? Many of us love to eat dessert at the end. Many of us would love to start our dessert with the first meal. Do you need a pickle? Do you need a tea? Do you need a nut? Do you need a cheese? If you see, all these eating patterns, these eating habits varies from culture to culture. Cheese as a concept, many of them who are diet conscious may not consume cheese. Whereas many of us who are highly influenced by the Western culture may would love to eat cheese as a part of our daily activities. Many of us are allergic to nut. That's the reason they would not want to consume nut. Whereas Nut definitely provides you a lot of natural protein and a different source of energy. That's the reason nut is something which people usually love to munch during their travel. Hence, if you see, all your cultural attributes are focused from your eating pattern point of view. Let's move on to the next part of this. Just for example, you have a course meal with no concluding dish may not be accepted from a modern term point of view. At the same time, sitting down and having meal together is one thing which highly talks positive about you and your culture. Now, whether you sit together on ground, you sit on a dining table, or whatever personal attributes, personal patterns which we have, at the end, we sit together and have our meal also talks a lot about our culture, our value system. Again, your daily routines, how we are being learned upon, how we are behaving in such a way, whether we have been treated right or whether we have been treated wrong, or something which is accepted, something is not accepted, definitely are judgmental attributes as a part of our discussion. Hence, there's a very thin line when you talk about the culture, attributes of our iceberg. Definitely, there are certain elements which are must to have. There are certain elements which are good to have, and there are certain elements which may not be applicable to you based on your own individual cultures. Now, let's move on to the next part of our slide, which focuses on impact of culture on organizational behavior. Now, the image which I see on the screen, if you see, there's a graph which is going up. The moment I show a graph which is going up, talks a lot about your culture, which is positive, which is growth oriented. If you see a bulb which is being light upon, talks a lot about the transparency and the faith in which they are growing. And a glowing bulb talks a lot about your energy, talks a lot about your own positivity and how we are growing and we are learning as a part of our learning curve. There are a lot of differences between the culture and motivation. While definitely motivation is one of the important aspects of our learning curve, how these differences can be addressed upon between culture and motivation. Let's understand this with this example, which you can read on my screen. People from different cultures view motivation differently. For example, in culture like Japan, where we are, feeling is very important. At the same time, giving the individual reward would embarrass the employee and therefore it would be demotivating. Whereas the same is applicable as individualistic behavior in a positive way with a country like America. So, with two different cultures, a culture of Japan and culture of America, these are two different cultures. While the culture is America is very promoting, wherein they would love to promote and have this individual aspiration as a part of their learning curve. In Japan, it is assumed that this is something which is automatically a part of your pattern as a part of their learning, wherein this has been their own learned skill. In America, this is one of the learning skills which they are improving upon. Whereas there is nothing right or wrong from a cultural difference and from a cultural motivation point of view. It talks a lot about two different cultures in which one side we have Japan, which is more focusing on the feeling aspect, whereas on the America, it is more on the individual characteristics by which they are being influenced. Whereas with mixed economy, with cross-cultural people working together, definitely based on your cultural upbringing, it talks a lot about how do you feel about your organization, about you in that particular line of business which we are getting into. At the same time, many a times, unknowingly, we put our employees, we put our people into an embarrassing position. For example, if somebody in India may not be comfortable using fork and knife as a part of their eating patterns, they would prefer to eat by your hand. Whereas this particular culture, from a motivation point of view, may not be feasible for somebody who may not take it in a positive way. Hence, your eating patterns, your culture, the level of motivation, all these are the different elements which we need to consider upon as a part of our differences between cultures and the differences between the motivation levels of our employees. In some countries, materials material items are not perceived as performance reward, but as gifts. For example, in China, people have higher positions which get them a better items, whereas gifting or a gift, but they do not perceive the connection between such gift and performance. So, many a time we link our performance with gift, and we perceive that because I have been promoted, because I am somebody on a higher position, this is a gift which I have got. Whereas in many countries, the gift is a token of appreciation which is given to you. This has to do nothing with your performance. But we definitely relate to our influential cycle, and that's how we treat gift as a part of our reward, which could not be necessarily one of the key elements as a part of our discussion. Factors that motivates an employee may differ from people between different cultures, but also within a one particular age, culture or gender, education, the level in which the employee is working from an employment life cycle point of view, the organization, at what level they are working. All these important factors of your employee life cycle also comes into picture when we talk about the motivation factor of our employee, which is being getting associated with us as a part of our cultural differences. Hence, age is one of the important factors. Gender plays a very important role, especially where countries where the gender participation is not very great. Many organizations today are focusing on more woman empowerment related activities so that the participation of female workforce is increasing day by day. And that's the reason culture plays a very important role from an overall employee difference and employee motivation point of view. At the same time, the level in which the education is being taken care of, the level in which the organization tenure in which my employees are working, are one of the key elements which we need to focus upon from an organizational behavior point of view.